The Sinking of the Titanic is probably that is the oldest piece I have in my catalogue now. It's from 1969. Now, that came about when I was teaching in an art school, and a number of the students there were a bit under attack, and there was an exhibition put together, and various people were asked to put in things in support. And it's a time when I was very interested in conceptual art, which was often involved texts and printed material. So I wrote this little sketch for something which could be the Sinking of the Titanic, just a kind of verbal account about the band playing as the ship went down and what might have happened. And then I remember in 1972, 3 years later, there was someone put on a concert of my stuff, and he said, well, it's fine to think of it as a conceptual piece, something which exists only in your mind, but what would it sound like if you didn't make it able for other people to hear it? So I was then forced to realise it, then I did make it into a piece, but it's all the material in that is derived from the circumstances and facts, really, about the Titanic and what went on. And so it was entirely from research. I mean, I met survivors, I interviewed survivors, I read the Board of Trade report, there were various books, particularly a strong one was Walter Lord's A Night to Remember, which was the basis of the film, of the 1960s film, which is probably one of the best films about the Titanic that was ever made anyway. With Kenneth Moore and Honor Blackman, and it did involve research. You know, the band were playing as the ship went down, but what were they playing, and what instruments were they playing? Who were the musicians? So first, I had to find out those things, and I found the instrumentation, which was actually 3 violins, 2 cellos, double bass, and 2 pianos. There were 8 musicians on the ship, so then I had to think: well, when they play this hymn at the end, were the pianists playing? Were there any pianos on the boat deck? And the answer was, no, there weren't. So I worked out from the technical drawings of the ship, was it possible to have got a piano from where the pianos were onto the boat deck for them to perform? It turned out the electricity had failed at a particular point, so the pianos couldn't have, even if the pianists had wanted to play, they could not have moved the pianos on the boat deck. So I knew it was only strings. And the odds are it was only going to be strings anyway, but I had to be absolutely sure that they couldn't have got a piano there. And then what did they play? And then the popular thing was Always Nearer I Got to Thee. That was what people always said was played. But the strongest witness testament came from the junior, the second wireless officer, a man called Harold Bride, who, when he got to New York and was interviewed by the New York Times, described the situation as he was in the water about 150 feet away from the ship as it was going down. He said the band was playing, they were playing Autumn. And he said, however they did it, he can't imagine, but he gave no sign. He said they didn't stop, they kept playing. So this was the image I had of this band playing this hymn, and they go under the water, and then I speculated in this kind of rather pataphysical way what would happen to the water when it goes to sound when it goes underwater, if, obviously physically, the strings wouldn't vibrate. But if the music could continue, how would it continue? And it would go down with the ship, and it would still be perpetuating the water being a much more sound-efficient medium than air. It would not be dispersed quite as rapidly or as far as it would have been in the air, and so on. So I then had to find this tune, Autumn. And I found that the hymn tune called Autumn is an Episcopal hymn, and it seems to have nothing whatsoever with the circumstances of the sinking. It doesn't talk about imminent death or forgiveness or hell or save us all, Lord. It's all about the harvest. I suppose metaphorically you would think, well, see the whitening harvest language, God is reaping in his harvest, you know. But that's pushing it. But in any case, there's no evidence that the words were even sung. The band played it. And it was a Sunday. Maybe they actually had played it that night at one of the church services. But they would have had to have played it from memory, because they wouldn't have the music on the stand with them. There was no music stands. And by the time they were playing, the ship was almost vertical on its end. But where they were actually standing on what was the wall of the gymnasium, which is halfway along, so they were standing vertically as the ship was going down, and they were able to play. It's astonishing. And I just felt it was this kind of, almost like an emblem of how music should be. I mean, music for me is a profoundly social experience. It involves working closely with people in performance. It involves a sort of giving, sharing things with listeners. It involves collaboration, and it also involves, you know, sort of being aware of the whole context in which you are in that moment. And I remember one of the things that Cage said that he found from Indian music, there's this idea that one of the music should condition the mind and make it susceptible to divine influence. So it has a way of shaping one's emotions, one's psyche. And it seemed to me at that moment, that band was doing exactly what music should do. It was completely concerned for its listeners. It was concerned for the people playing it, and it was a model of how musicians should behave. And it's not what one normally thinks of musicians. If you look down in the pit at the end of an opera performance, you find the brass are out like a shot to go into the bar. You know, they don't hang around. You'd think the musicians would be the first to get out there. Would have someone started to try and make a kind of canoe out of the double bass? But no, they didn't. And it seemed to me an incredibly noble thing. And so, in a way, Jesus' Blood Never Failed Me Yet was a testament to this one old man's simple faith. Titanic was a kind of collective thing by these six musicians and the bandmaster, Wallace Hartley, who was a Yorkshireman like me, who presumably was the one who decided what they would play. And it's also, you know, why would they play that? It's also in A-flat major. You're not using any open strings. If you're freezing cold, why would you do it something like that? It's a mystery. But that's where the piece came from, and that led me in all sorts of other areas too.